ChatGPT was that demo, and the original plan was to throw it away once we get the learnings. So the plan was to keep it online for about a month, and then we turn it off, and we take the learnings and we make the real product. And you know, fortunately, ChatGPT went viral and people loved it already. So here we are.
Welcome to the OMR Silicon Valley Update podcast. My name is Christian Beiser. I'm your host. And yeah, this is a special episode. Usually we do this in German, but there was this kind of big event last week in Hamburg in Germany. 70,000 people came together and I had the chance to be on stage for the first time in my life in front of 12,000 people and interview one of the guests of this podcast, who is Nick Turley. Nick Turley is head of product for ChatGPT at OpenAI. And yeah, when I had the chance to bring him to Hamburg and have him on stage, I definitely wanted to do that interview myself. And yeah, that's what we did. And it was a very magical moment, especially the first minutes when I asked the audience who or if they could raise their hand if they used ChatGPT within the last 3 days. And when you stand there on stage and 12,000 people raise their hand in the same time, it was a quite magical moment, very inspiring. And so yeah, we had a really good chat and I figured why not bring this to everyone here that listens to this podcast every week. Thank you so much for supporting this, for writing me all these messages. We are back to our regular schedule of German content next week. And yeah, without further ado, Nick Turley from OpenAI, head of product for ChatGPT. Let's go.
All right. Yeah, let me introduce you to the man that basically stands behind this product, right, that more than 500 million people on this earth use to learn, code, write, like, or get relationship advice. It's just unbelievable. So, like, just really excited to have you here. Wir wollten einen Satz auf Deutsch sagen.
Nur als Beweis.
Ja, genau, sozusagen. Okay.
Moin, moin.
Genau, erst soll ich mal ganz kurz feststellen. And so we switch back to English because we just want to make sure that everyone in the audience understands. Let's start with something very simple with the audience. So raise your hand if you used ChatGPT within the last, let's say, 3 days at least once. Right, crazy. Okay, and so now raise your hand if you created an action figure or, let's say, like a Studio Ghibli photo of yourself within the last 2 weeks. Right, I guess this is why this conversation matters. Okay, well, before we get started, I mean, Nick Turley, you joined, or you're head of product at ChatGPT, right, and at OpenAI in San Francisco, and you really help, like, how to shape this product in every single way. And yeah, let's sit down and maybe start with some rapid fire. By the way, he's only 30 years old. This is unbelievable. All right, cool. So I want to start with some rapid fire. And I give you a scenario, and then you basically tell me if you agree or disagree.
And all right.
I have a few of them, so let's start with that. Number one, artificial general intelligence, or AGI, is already here.
It's a matter of active debate.
Okay. AI will be smarter than the smartest human this year.
Yes, on many domains.
AI will need rights similar to human rights.
Can't rule it out.
AI will be the last invention humanity ever needs.
No, it'll be the first of many incredible inventions.
You understand why some people have concerns or maybe afraid of what AI can do?
Of course.
Not everything that can be built should be built.
Absolutely.
Most companies still have no idea what's already possible with AI.
I'm afraid that's true.
You are still surprised by what ChatGPT can do?
Almost every day.
Europe will continue to mostly use AI as users rather than building relevant AI models themselves?
I think the two are going to converge.
Okay. Your LinkedIn posts always get at least 1,000 likes?
I have no idea.
Well, I checked actually. The last ones, this was unbelievable. It's way up there.
Okay.
You talk with Sam Altman at least once a week?
More like once a day, probably.
And then lastly, Hamburg or San Francisco?
Why not both?
Okay, well. Okay, let's start to talk a little about OpenAI, right? Like, you use obviously the products, you have access way earlier than anyone else. What can you do with ChatGPT that me or anyone else here can't do today?
I wish I could tell you, Christian, but you know, one of the best parts of the job and working in this space is getting to play with this tech when it's still raw. So typically, I have about a 6-month lead time in terms of what the world is going to see, because we are very thoughtful in the way that we try to get this out, and we send it through safety testing, and we also think hard about how we are going to productize this new technology. So to give you a hint, I think the GPT-5 moment is going to be amazing. I'm super, super excited about bringing our many different models together into one elegant system. And I'm also really excited about that AI that can go do things for you on your behalf. So a lot of interesting stuff to play with, and I hope you get to see it soon.
Okay. I mean, you told me, or we know actually, that ChatGPT started as an internal experiment, right? Like, you joined before ChatGPT was released. Like, tell us, like, take us back there. How did this feel like? What did you...
Yeah, I joined OpenAI in 2022. And frankly, I joined to learn. It was a research lab. I knew very little about artificial intelligence, but I knew that some of the smartest people that I'd ever interacted with were working there, and I wanted to learn from them. So I never had any clue that we would launch in a world-scale product. And when I showed up, GPT-4 had just finished training, and it was the most magical thing I'd ever seen. And over time, we started having conversations about what would the right product even look like. And we said, man, it would be amazing to have a consumer product, because we would get so much feedback. And for us as an organization, whose mission is to make sure that, you know, AGI benefits everyone, feedback is very important. In fact, it's the most important thing in the world. So we started talking about building a super assistant, because we're OpenAI, and you know, that's how people talked back then. We knew that the super assistant would become amazing. You know, it would help you with all the things in your life and all the things at your work. But you know, we were unsure where to start, and so we said, hey, let's make a demo and see what we learn from that. And ChatGPT was that demo, and the original plan was to throw it away once we get the learnings. So the plan was to keep it online for about a month, and then we turn it off, and we take the learnings, and we make the real product. And you know, fortunately, ChatGPT went viral, and people loved it already, so here we are. Would have probably picked a better name if we'd known that it was going to be a thing. But I'm thankful for what we have, and we're stuck with it. So that's part of the story.
Talking about the name, I mean, ChatGPT, even most people don't even know what GPT stands for. Then you have like 04, 03, 03 mini, like all these different abbreviations.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Who does this?
I take accountability, full accountability for the naming. We're not good at naming. We're good at many other things. But you know, the truth is, right, when you're in this space, you're constantly going to have new research advancements. And when you have those advancements, you have a choice, right? You can wait for it to all make sense and to be elegant and to be simple to explain. Or you can launch and you can release something that's a little bit more raw and let the world actually experiment with it, play with it, give us feedback. And, you know, I've always made the trade-off that it's much better to ship early and often, and to let all of you discover the magic as early as possible, because this stuff is going to happen no matter what. And by bringing it out iteratively, we can start the conversation. So yes, all these names and models, they're confusing. I hope to simplify it with GPT-5. We're really going to give it a shot. But I would always do it all over again this way, even if the names end up being a little bit confusing, because it's important that you all get to play with this stuff.
Well, Germany is said to be one of the most important markets for you guys, right? Can you share some metrics there?
Yeah, it's actually kind of crazy, because there's sort of this meme that Germany's behind on AI. I don't know if you guys have heard this meme. It's in the media a lot. And you know, when I actually looked at the data, I was blown away. The ChatGPT is actually, you know, Germany is one of our like 3-4 core markets for ChatGPT in the world. I think we grew like 20% in the last month here. And there's just incredible appetite to use our technology and these products here. And I saw it when everyone raised their hand in the room. It was inspiring to me to see. And you know, you might say, okay, maybe people are just like using this tech, but what about building our own products here in Germany, right? What about that? And the thing that I found even more striking is that when you look at the developers building on OpenAI models, because we're a platform company, we don't just make ChatGPT, there is no other country outside of the US that has more developers building on this stuff than Germany. And I'm really proud of that, because it means that there's going to be a new big startup coming out of Germany, maybe one of you guys here. And it's even beyond startups, right? We're partnering with existing industry giants in Germany as well to bring this technology everywhere, right? To bring it to employees, to bring it into products. And I'm so proud of that. You know, yesterday we announced a partnership with the Deutsche Kreditbank, which is a pretty iconic bank. And the fact that we have German banks bringing this tech to their employees and to their product, it makes me so proud. You know, Sven and I were talking about it earlier in terms of what it means for both the employee base and the products. So Germany has so much potential. I hope we don't get in our own way, but I couldn't be more proud about the adoption here in this country.
You said before, I mean, growth and numbers are just insane, right? Like 20% month over month at that scale already. You have 500, I think Sam Altman somewhere hinted it's even much higher than that, nothing official. But like, I mean, what KPIs as a product manager do you optimize for even?
It's a good question. You know, if you work in product in most companies, you have metrics, right? You have OKRs, you're held accountable to some growth number, et cetera. And we're in this incredibly lucky position where we have a big mission, right? We're trying to make sure that AI benefits everyone. And we have a product that's a utility. We actually don't care at all how much time you spend in that product. In fact, less time is better, right? Because it means we solved your problem. Oftentimes, this is like one of our metrics. I look at the quality of people's conversations because the AI can actually tell us, okay, this was a good conversation and solved the user's problem or not. And I'm proud that we can look at that rather than time spent. And the reason that we can look at that is because A, you know, our mission, but B, our business model, right? We charge people directly to use our products, though if you want to use it for free, you can. It's permanently free. And that just gives us, I think, the right incentives to build something really useful for you all. So, of course, growth matters, and we're proud when more people use our product, and especially when people retain and come back to our product 3 months after, you know, signing up, et cetera. But fundamentally, it's about the quality of the product and being useful to you all more than anything else. So that's how we approach growth.
Okay. We had a marketing conference. Right, lots of experts based in the field, and ChatGPT SEO is one of the things that probably many of us are here very curious about. When I Google what's the biggest marketing conference in the world, OMR shows up first for me. That makes me very happy. Is that just Bing, or like how is this determined? Like, do we have any SEO tips for us here?
That's a very good question, and let me take a step back. I'm excited to hear that ChatGPT answered OMR. I mean, obviously agree, but the one of the core limitations of the original ChatGPT was that it would make things up, right? We call this hallucination in the industry, kind of like humans hallucinate. And then another core limitation was that you couldn't ask about current events. When you used to talk to ChatGPT, it would say, hey, I can't answer this because it's after my knowledge cutoff. So we introduced what we call search in ChatGPT to solve that problem, right? So now if you use ChatGPT, you can just talk about anything, including, you know, what's going on in Hamburg this weekend, or you know, tell me about the OMR program, et cetera. And we do that by pulling in real-time information and showing links and citations. And this solves both problems. And the way that we do that, you know, we have third-party partners. Bing is one of them. We also have our own search technology stack, too. So we crawl the web and try to get access to the highest quality information out there. And of course, it raises the question, right? Many of you, I suspect, are marketers. You know, it's in the name, and content creators. You're probably used to a world where, you know, the way that you show up is by creating search engine optimized content. And the more SEO optimization you do, the more likely you are to get traffic. And a lot of that is going to work differently in the era of AI. High quality content matters more than ever. But now you have AI models making the determination. ChatGPT actually decides what is high quality content. And it tries to do this by representing the user's interests. We have work to do, right? I think we don't just need feedback from our users. We also need feedback from the ecosystem of what a new protocol could look like. But I can very much imagine a world where there is some way of communicating to the AI what's interesting and important about your content. The thing I will say, though, is that these sort of content farms, SEO farms, are going to go away, and it's really going to be about creating high-quality content that the AI models are excited to cite to our users. So more to come, lots of good conversations to be had. We're just at the beginning.
For many Germans, a lot of Germans here, we are very sensitive with our data, right? And let's say I drop my revenue metrics or my investor update into ChatGPT. What happens with that data? Or like, can someone else say, hey, what's going on at Christian? And they get all that detail?
It's a great question. And you know, honestly, I too care a lot about privacy. I am from Germany after all. And so I hope you take some confidence in the fact that you have a German repping this perspective in Silicon Valley. For me, the approach has always been to give users control. You should have all the controls on how your data is used. And you should have those controls no matter what version of ChatGPT you're using, whether or not you're using it for free or paid or whatever. So you can just go into your settings and decide exactly how you want us to use your data. If you're using a enterprise version, we will never use anything you put to improve our models. And if you're using any other version, you just can turn it off right there. So, and of course, no other user can see your data. A lot of people think that AI is sort of live updating. That's actually not how it works. So really, you shouldn't worry about this. And if you're sensitive about it, just go into your settings and turn it off.
Okay, okay. There's lots of rumors, talks of new products that you're building, right? I think the one thing I saw the other week is that you are building this Instagram X competitor. Any hints?
Yeah, I don't have an update to share today, but let me just say that I think there's a lot of things wrong with social media today, and LLMs offer exciting opportunities for disruption.
Okay, well, a non-answer. But you announced something very recently that is out there in the world. Now, I tried it myself. Google Shopping rival is what people say, right? Like Sam Altman even said, so for the ones that don't know, you can basically say, what is a good espresso machine under $200? And it shows you products, and it's really cool. You can then directly click. He hinted that you also think about tasteful ads. What should marketers know about that?
Yeah, it's, first of all, I'm super excited about shopping in ChatGPT. It's one of those things that really surprised me about usage, because people talk to ChatGPT about products all the time. They're oftentimes just looking to get advice. And espresso machines are a good example, but people actually also ask about things that you can't even buy online today, like a car or a house purchase or something like that, something very significant. And I just think that the fact that people are using chat for these kinds of things is a very incredible opportunity. And our first priority right now is to just solve the user problem. Make ChatGPT the best place to talk about products, get amazing advice, get, and most importantly, independent advice. So the model represents your interests and no one else's, right? I feel very lucky that today we have a business model with subscriptions that is very aligned with our users, right? You pay us direct money, and this allows us to make sure that we continue to serve you the best answers. So I'm not gonna rule anything out. We have lots of conversations. We're 2 years into this product, but I feel very grateful for our business model, and I'm even more excited about the opportunity in shopping and what it means for our users.
Okay. Any other product features you can hint? I mean, I saw you were like in this government thing where there was this antitrust case against Google, and then you said something along the lines of, yeah, we would like to buy Google Chrome.
there's so many exciting things about the roadmap, right? On the topic of browsers, I do think that a lot of the things that you do in the browser and a lot of the things that you either currently do or will do in ChatGPT, those things will converge, right? Even today, like this morning, I kicked off a deep research task. For those of you who haven't tried it, deep research is our first agent. It's an AI that goes and does things for you over a longer period of time. And this is an example of an AI going and doing something on your behalf that you might have otherwise done in a browser in a previous life. So for me, I was meeting a lot of people and companies, et cetera. So I asked it about those companies to give me a research report on every single one as preparation, right? And that, displaces to some extent some of the things that I would have done in a browser traditionally. I think that's going to be the case more and more, because at the limit, AI should be able to do anything that a smart human with a computer can do for you, right? That's the only limitation. So, but even beyond that, if I take a step back, right? In some way, our product vision is still to build a super assistant, and you know, that's not a real category. I can't really talk about it other than as an analogy. But when I think about what makes a great assistant, right? They have an action space that goes beyond just answering questions. A real assistant can do something for you, whether or not that's something on the internet or something in the physical world. And that is very much our ambition. Like, we were not in the business of just building a chatbot. We're in the business of building something much more useful than that. And you know, one of the other things that makes an assistant really powerful and useful in the real world is that they can be proactive. Today, you know, ChatGPT is very limited by our ability to even delegate. You have to understand your problem, break it down, give it to the AI, explain it. And an amazing super assistant shouldn't feel that way. They should anticipate your needs proactively. And you know, the last thing is that you know, a great assistant gets to know you, right? You know, no assistant or intern or anyone really is going to be useful on their first day on the job. It takes much longer than that, and that's just a fundamental constraint on collaboration between entities, human or otherwise. So one of the things that I'm really excited about is memory. I hope we can bring this to Germany soon as well, where the AI actually gets to know you over time so that you can stop explaining things over and over again and start just sending it very casual instructions. So you know, this is intentionally a little bit high level, but I hope it gives you a little bit of sense of how I'm thinking about the roadmap and evolving ChatGPT, because I'm very excited about it.
I mean, you give this task this morning, right, to prepare about all the different companies. Mm-hmm. And critics say hallucinations are a big issue still, right? And so you ask it, you trust that it works, but then there's something in there that is maybe not as correct. Where are we on that journey, right? Like, from a lot of hallucinations in the beginning, it's getting better. Like, is this even a problem that we can ever solve?
You know, I'm glad you called it a journey, because it's certainly not the type of thing that you fix overnight. You know, the hallucinations, the tendency to make things up, is pretty core to the way that large language models work today. But one of the key unlocks for us has been to treat large language models a little bit less like a knowledge repository and more like a cognitive engine. To put that in concrete terms, we should be using these models to search over the web or other sources of truth, not to answer these questions directly, right? And that's why deep research is powerful, because the AI is actually using its cognitive skill to go through the entire web, or soon other data sources as well, read them carefully, compare, look if they're in conflict with each other, and then cite them. So is it going to be perfect? No. But ChatGPT will explain the sources it used and how it came to its conclusion in the same way that a human would. And nothing's imperfect, but we've made so much progress. And in part, it's the mindset shift away from just talking to the model itself and towards products that combine these models with real sources of truth and facts.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about the behind the curtains at OpenAI. I mean, you run product there, right? You built this internal demo that explodes. I mean, you told me that you went on vacation right after. And
I tried to, anyway.
A little bit surprised what happened in the world. How does this change how you build now, right? Like, the world is watching you.
I try not to think too hard about the fact that the world is watching, because it's pretty paralyzing. You got to be okay embarrassing yourself sometimes if you want to ship and make progress. But yes, you know, AI has changed a lot about how we build. You know, about maybe half of the roadmap is grounded in, you know, user feedback and what people want. And that's incredibly important. If you run a product, you need to build what people want. You need to deliver on their feedback. And the other half, though, is born by what's possible, right? Because we constantly have a step change in our technology that changes all assumptions. And so I've given up on having long-term roadmaps. I think I have maybe like, you know, 3 to 6 month roadmap at best, for exactly this reason. I'm also given up on writing long documents, because we can just make a prototype so easily now, right? You can have just code with AI, we call it vibe coding, and you get a prototype together. So, you know, we've certainly changed our development process quite a bit as a result of AI. But the thing that you can't lose is your velocity, your willingness to try things, even when the world is watching, or maybe especially then.
a lot of people say now, of course, AI consumes all this energy. Should I stop saying thank you to OpenAI?
look, you know, the fact base there is changing every single day. You know, if you look at just the progress over the last couple of years, the models we use now are about 200 times more efficient than the models we had, 2 years ago. And the trend is accelerating. So put another way, AI is constantly getting more efficient to serve, which I think is an incredible trend because it, you know, both brings costs down for consumers, but it also, you know, improves the environmental footprint of this technology. The other thing, though, is that, you know, one of the most exciting things for me about ChatGPT and AI as a whole is its ability to aid science, right? For example, we have people, actually here in Germany, we have people at the Max Planck Institute collaborating with our reasoning models on their hardest questions. And I you know, climate change is an unsolved problem, but I'd be really surprised if, you know, we wouldn't arrive at some of the biggest answers that are yet to come in collaboration with AI. So, you know, it's both getting more efficient, but more crucially, I think it's going to be a critical piece to actually making progress on climate change.
So you say thank you?
I say thank you. You just never know, right? I like to be nice to my AI.
All right. Yeah. Two more questions. We talked about this very early as a term, and many people don't even maybe understand this, artificial general intelligence. What do you understand under that term?
Good question. So you know, the way we define it sort of more academically is a system that outperforms humans at most economically valuable work. That's kind of a mouthful. But it is true that there's so many areas of work, you know, when you look at education, you look at healthcare, when you look at science, that can really benefit from AI as, you know, an extension of human capacity. So I find that incredibly inspiring. And our mission at OpenAI is greater than just ChatGPT, though ChatGPT is crucial, because we really want to make a dent on those areas and you know, help humans achieve more with AI. So that's what it's about.
Last question. In our podcast, OMR Silicon Valley Update, you told me a few weeks ago that you talk on your way to work with ChatGPT, with voice, and many people, I think, change the behavior that they don't only type. What are some other tips and tricks that you can like teach us here today?
I structure my thoughts with AI quite a bit. So you're referring to my habit to use it in the car on my way to work with voice. One of the, you know, coolest things that I have started to do with ChatGPT is images, and you know, a lot of people raise their hands when we ask about memes, but it's more than just memes, right? You know, I was constructing a grill a couple weeks ago because we moved, and you know, there were some parts, and I didn't quite understand what the part was, and I just snapped a photo. So there's so many questions you can't express in words. But you can still ask ChatGPT because increasingly you can communicate with it like a human. So just shoot the photo over. And then what I did afterwards in the same project, you know, I was setting up the yard, was I asked it to mock up what the yard would look like if we had actual furniture there. And it gave me a really cool mock-up of how I could imagine it. So, you know, multimodality, the ability to use not just text, but any modality is incredible. And most people underestimate what's possible because you have a mental model of ChatGPT from maybe a year ago. And that's going to be a consistent problem for us because the AI is getting better so quickly that few people are keeping up, and that's a problem to solve.
Cool. Hey, Nick, thank you so much for this. We have the bar, and I think
nice.
Michael was desperately waiting to ask the question first. So should we come over, actually? I always feel so weird that we're so far away.
Come on over.
All right, let's do it.
So nice to meet you. I'm from Schleswig-Holstein as well.
Hi.
Thank you so much. And my question is, such a humble, nice, gentle guy like you, how can one make a career in this short period of time? What is your superpower to become into a position you came in just 2 or 3 years? What can we learn from this?
Oof. Well, you're flattering me. Honestly, you know, there's so much luck involved, right? And I would be the first to acknowledge that. But the one consistent thing that I've always followed is I've tried to follow the smartest people I know so I can keep learning from them. And that's how I got my first job. I just messaged the smartest people I knew and said, hey, can I work with you? That's how I got my second job. That's how I came to OpenAI. I'm horrible at vetting companies. I, you know, could not have imagined a ChatGPT. But what I did know is that, you know, I could either get a master's degree or I could go to you know, a place like OpenAI and learn on the job about a really cool technology from people that I admired. So that's been, for me personally, the one recipe that I've consistently followed, and I think it's worked out pretty well.
Thank you so much for this lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alex, anyone? All right.
I have a question.
Where can we see you play piano? I learned that you're a good jazz pianist. Where can we see this?
You know, you can come to San Francisco, but it's a good question. Maybe the Birdland will have me at some point, but or next year at OMR, we'll see.
I mean, you're in Munich in 2 weeks, right?
So I will be.
There's something going on there.
There's some cool clubs there too. Yeah, I'm in Munich in a couple of weeks because we're opening our first ever Germany office, which makes me very proud. So maybe we'll have a chance to play then.
What?
All right. I think unfortunately we've run out of time. Thank you so much, Nick. It was an honor to have you here.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
And we hope to welcome you back next year and hear how things have developed.
I would love to be there. It's an honor to be here with you today. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.
This was this bonus episode of the OMR Silicon Valley Update with Nick Turley from OpenAI. My name is Christian Beiser. I'm co-founder of OMR and also co-founder from Learn.xyz, where we, with the help of AI, take your documents and convert them into the most fun and engaging learning content you can even imagine. So try us out on Learn.xyz for teams up to 10 people always for free. And then afterwards, if you want to leave us a review or share this episode with a friend, that'd be awesome. We talk again next week. Thank you so much and have a good one.